It is Thursday, and that means it's time for a look at another one of the recommendations from the jury into the inquest to end intimate partner violence in Ontario. Joining us, as always, to talk about this is Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. Thanks so much for being here, Aaron.
It is my honor.
Number 57, we'll get right to it. It says, strengthen annual education for Crowns regarding applications for dangerous and long-term offender designations in high-risk IPV cases. This goes back to something that we've been talking about throughout the first 57, really. Education, that's a key.
Education is critical, and the cycle of violence is very much mixed with stealthy strategies that abusers use to mask their behavior, the likelihood of risk, volatility, and those types of things. And I think that this recommendation really speaks to the fact that we need to ensure that we are providing adequate information and education to our Crowns so that they can do an informed assessment around volatility and risk and dangerous offenders. I think that the inquest would suggest that perhaps the perpetrator in that particular case was already known as a dangerous offender and perhaps not labeled as such. I think it's a very difficult process, and it's fraught with all kinds of nuances that the general public is not aware of. And it's a big job for a Crown to have to engage in the process. But I think the inquest has taught us that the more education, knowledge is power, and that we can make informed decisions about labels such as dangerous offender.
Yeah, it's a big step to label somebody as a dangerous offender, and definitely you want to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
I think there are many risk assessment tools that are out there. There are new risk assessment tools. And as a member of the Ontario Domestic Violence Death Review Committee, when we do our reviews of homicides in Ontario, we look at 41 risk factors. And I think that we need to look together as a province and through our system at what risk assessments really strengthen the work that we're doing, how we can be a little bit more consistent across our systems in terms of how we do risk assessments, and really, how do we gather and build a file that actually speaks to the requirements around labeling somebody a long-term offender and getting that designation. I think that we've seen with the sex offender registration that, you know, there are some difficulties and some challenges around that. And I think that what we want to do is empower the system moving forward to look at what can we do better, how can we empower the folks to make the decisions, and how can we all contribute differently to that file and to those assessments to help mitigate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And in some cases, it's very obvious and you don't need quite as much information. But in others, I guess this is where this updated training and education really comes into play, because there could be a number of factors, you've already mentioned a couple of them, that go into making this decision. And in the case of IPV, you want to make sure that if there's a danger of reoffending, that this label would make sense.
Absolutely. We want to be mindful. I mean, the justice system has provisions, and there are laws and there's legislation that guides what can and cannot be done as it relates to protecting the rights of an offender as well as protecting victims. And I think there needs to be a little bit of check and balance in terms of how do we make sure that the victim has a little bit more favorable weight in their direction in terms of making sure our community stays safer. And I think education is the key to that. I think breaking down some of those barriers or those nuances and taking a deep dive would really help Crowns. And I think that judicial education is also critical to understand the cycle a little bit better. And I think that there is some work being done on judicial education and looking at judges as well in terms of really understanding the cycle of violence and how to mitigate that when you're in a position of power and trying to equitably apply the law to situations. What are some of the things to look for in terms of flagging that and being mindful of that?
Aaron, thank you very much for this. We really appreciate the effort you put into these conversations that we have. We will be looking at number 58 next week.
Thanks so much.
I'm Bob Perot for Lake 88 and LanarkLeadsToday.ca.